Hello and welcome to episode number 14 of the Lunch Table Talk podcast. In today's episode, I'll be going over the statistics and what happened during the match Champions for Charity this past Sunday at Medalist Golf Club, and I'm also going to be discussing the new NHL proposal for the playoffs. Never done NHL news before, but I'm willing to give it a shot. Let's see how it goes. The Champions for Charity match was with Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning. They were facing off against Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady. The most important thing, the overall match winner was Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning, as most people predicted, including myself. I didn't share my prediction in my last episode, which I probably should have, but I just wasn't thinking far enough ahead. But I did have Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning winning, and they did just that. I didn't really mind who won. I'm a big fan of Phil, Tiger, Brady, and Manning, all of them. They're all class acts. I'm fortunate enough to live in an era when all these four dominated at their respective sports. Now I'm going to go over a few statistics, not from the match itself, just from their time playing golf and, of course, the others, football. So, Tiger Woods, he has 15 major victories, 22 PGA Tour wins. His best world ranking is number one. He's 11-time PGA Player of the Year, and that's over 24 years on the tour. Now for Phil, not as impressive as Tiger's, but still pretty impressive. He has 5 major wins, 44 PGA Tour wins. His best world ranking was number two. He's never gotten one, mainly because of Tiger Woods, the guy he was playing against in this match. Now onto the football. Tom Brady, we all know he has his 6 Super Bowl wins, 541 passing touchdowns, 74,571 passing yards, 3 MVPs, 21 years in the league, and still going. Now for Peyton, he has 2 Super Bowl victories, 539 passing touchdowns, 71,940 passing yards, 5 most valuable player, and that was during an 18-year career. So to say this unpretentiously, these guys are pretty darn good. I just go over the playing format of this match. On the front nine, it was best ball. Manning and Brady would receive one stroke on 3 of the holes. That's hole 3, 6, and 8. And the back nine was a scramble drive and then alternate shot after that. Scramble drive is basically you pick the best drive out of you and your partner's drives, and then you just play your own ball from where you decided to take the drive from. And then there were 7 mini challenges that will be played within the match for charity, which I'll go over now. The challenges within the match were a long drive between Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. There was 2 closest to the holes. Within 1 foot would give you $1 million. Within 2 feet would give you $500,000. And within 5 feet would give you $250,000 for charity. There was a one-club challenge where you choose one club on the tee box and you have to use that club for the entirety of the hole. That includes driving, putting, even out of the sand. There's 2 hole-in-one challenges where if you make a one on this certain hole, you would win $25 million for charity. And then there was a long drive between Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. And then there was also the Charles Barkley bogey challenge at the very end. The charities and foundations receiving help from this match. The All-In Challenge, which works to help eliminate food insecurity. Direct Relief, which supports our frontline workers. American Red Cross, which is emergency assistance and disaster relief. And finally, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation, which supports all small businesses struggling due to the coronavirus. Now I'll go over the winners of the mini challenges. Of course, I already went over who won the overall match. That was Tiger and Peyton. But I went over the mini challenges, and now I'll go over the winners of those. The Tiger and the Phil long drive competition, the only requirement was to hit the fairway for your drive. To count, Phil took his close to out of bounds, which almost hit someone's house. So really all Tiger had to do was hit the fairway, and he did so. Tiger took the win for the long drive competition. The first closest to the hole, Phil and Brady, both missed a green, and Peyton and Tiger both hit the green in regulation. Tiger was about 3 feet from winning $25,000 and made a birdie, and Peyton Manning was a little bit longer out, but he sank his putt for birdie as well. For the one club challenge, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, and Phil all selected to hit their 6-iron, and Tiger selected to hit his 7-iron. Brady kind of went all over the place on this hole. I think he made like an 8 or something. Tiger and Phil tied with pars after Phil almost stymied Tiger's ball with a little side bet. The second closest the hole, Phil and Tiger both put it pretty close. They had to bring out the tape measure to see who was closer and was going to... who was going to win the competition, but Phil came out on top with 7 feet 6 inches remaining, which earned him an extra $150,000. The Peyton Manning and Tom long drive competition. The same requirements for Tiger and Phil's long drive challenge. Manning's drive went 220 yards, and Brady's went 221 yards, so a win for Team Brady in that long drive competition. I'm surprised Brady was able to compete with Manning during this, because on the front nine, Brady was, let's say, not the best. The hole-in-one challenge was worth $25 million, as I said. We had no winners for the first or the second par three, although Phil came very close on the first par three, and Manning just came 17 inches short of an ace on the second. Finally, the Charles Barkley Challenge. Chuck played the 18th hole, par 4, for charity. A birdie would give him $500,000 for charity. A par would give him $400,000. A bogey, $300,000. He had about a 10-foot putt for his bogey and $300,000. But he did just barely miss and lipped out and won $0, unfortunately. We had some all-time classic quotes during this match. Manning had a Tom Brady roasting session, as I like to say, on the driving range before the match got underway. And we got some quotes like, Gronk does whatever Tom asks him to. Gronk will wrestle, take a year off, come play in Tampa with me later, come caddy for me. So that was funny from Peyton Manning. And then the reporter asked Manning, if you were allowed to bring a caddy, who do you think you would take or Tom would take? And he goes, do you bring Eli? Could do that. Maybe Nick Foles, maybe. Of course, Eli beat Brady in the Super Bowl twice, and Nick Foles beat him once. Just trying to get under Tom's skin a little bit. Reporter moves over to Tom Brady, and Tom fires back on the range at Peyton, saying he's doing pretty well in the rain. I'm impressed. He's more of a dome quarterback. I mean, Peyton Manning can play anywhere, really. So can Tom Brady, but yeah. Tiger gets to Brady after a terrible drive on one of the early holes. He says, that'll be in the fairway on hole 7. We get a all-time Tiger quote here. He says, do you want me to mark it with one of my U.S. Open medals? Tiger, that was Tiger taking a shot at Phil's 0 U.S. Open victories. We also got a little bit of Justin Thomas and Charles Barkley banter. Justin Thomas says to Chuck, Chuck, I like to see your fat blank. Try to dunk a basketball right now. That was so funny at the time. Oh my gosh. I could not stop laughing for a good 10 minutes after that. I mean, that was Oh my gosh, it was so funny. Tom was jabbing at Manning's Tennessee Volunteers. He says, they haven't even been good since you left. And then after that, Tom Brady says, take a suck of that, Chuck, after holing out from a long way out, and Chuck beforehand basically calling him garbage at golf. Shout out Charles Barkley. You have no room to talk at calling someone garbage at golf. Sorry, but it had to be said, and I think everyone knows it. We get a Caddyshack reference from Phil. He says, when's the heavy stuff going to start? Always a classic, of course. Wish we could have heard a few Tin Cup or Happy Gilmore quotes thrown in there, but always good to hear some Caddyshack quotes. Brady, after Manning misses the two-footer, he goes, whoa, I definitely would have made that, getting that back at Manning after destroying him on the range. Of course, this is funny because, well, Brady's being a little sarcastic. He was missing two-footers all day. so, yeah. My thoughts and opinions on this, Barkley, Trevor Immelman, Justin Thomas, Brian Anderson, and Samuel Jackson on the introductions, and everyone else, including the broadcasting crew, did an amazing job with this whole thing. For some players I'd like to see in the match, part number three, maybe Tony Romo, Steph Curry, Michael Jordan, Derek Jeter, Justin Verlander were the names that I had seen thrown around and would also like. Personally, I'd love to see Jeff McNeil play, but unfortunately I don't think that would get nearly as many views if you had some of the names I listed before his. But all these guys have a handicap under 5, which is very impressive to be that good at one sport and then have a handicap under 5 in golf. I mean, that's very impressive. I don't care if you don't play, watch, or even understand golf, but this is some quality television. Better than anything I've seen on TV all year. But granted, there hasn't been much besides some NBA regular season games, spring training, and the Super Bowl. But nevertheless, this was certainly an amazing event to watch. Can't wait for part number 3 and beyond. Now I'm going to talk about the NHL playoff news. Disclaimer, before I begin talking about the NHL, I don't know anything about hockey, really. I know general stuff, like team names and cities, which, I mean, I better, or else I don't really have much business talking about this. I mean, I know which players are good, teams are good, most of the rules, simple things, but that's really the extent of my NHL knowledge, hence the fact that this is the first time I've talked about the NHL in my 13 episodes of podcasting. I'll probably talk about the playoffs when they happen, predictions, top performers, all of that stuff. I've never been able to get into hockey like I have the NFL, MLB, NBA, but maybe this being the only sport on TV, this is what I need to get into it thoroughly, like those other 3 sports. So, there's going to be 24 teams instead of the normal 16. That means that more than 77%-ish of the teams will get into the playoffs, which is kind of whack. I thought 50% was too much with the NBA, but I do understand under the current circumstances. In each conference, the top 4 teams by points percentage as of March the 12th will play for the first round seeding. These teams will play 1 game against each of the other top 4 teams in their respective conferences. The 8 teams playing this format are the Bruins, Lightning, Capitals, Flyers, Blues, Avalanche, Golden Knights, and the Dallas Stars. These 8 teams are already in the playoffs. They're now just playing for seeding. These games will be played with regular season overtime and shootout rules, with ties in the final standings being broken by a regular season point percentage. I'm not sure if they are factoring in these games into the point percentage tiebreaker or not. Let me know if you do know, though. Seeds 5 through 12 in each conference based on point percentage will meet in a best of 5 series to advance to the first round of the playoffs. And for these games, playoff overtime rules do apply. And the article that I read from this, they didn't mention if overtime shootout rules apply. I'm not really sure how they're gonna do that. The 5 seeds are Pittsburgh and Edmonton. The 6 seeds are Carolina and Nashville. 7 is the Islanders and the Canucks. The 8th seed is the Toronto and the Flames. 9 is Columbus and Winnipeg. 10 is the Panthers and the Wild. 11 is the Rangers and the Arizona Coyotes. And finally, 12 is Montreal and Chicago. My personal thoughts and opinions on this, 24 teams I think is too much. Like I said in my last episode, now is the time to experiment with rules and playing formats and stuff like that. I don't see the NHL continuing to put 24 teams in a playoff scenario though. But I did watch the playoffs last year for the NHL, and I remember that all the wildcard teams beat the 1 and 2 seeds. But if I had to put my money on a team to win the Stanley Cup this year, I'd put it on the 1 through 5 seeds. Very bold prediction, I know. Don't worry. Who do I think? If I had to pick one from each conference, I'd probably go with the Lightning and... Lightning and the Blues, I guess, for right now. That could change tomorrow, for all I know. But, yeah, that's my prediction. That's right off the top of my head. I didn't really think about it too much. But I'll look more into it and make some predictions, maybe for next episode. So, yeah, that just about wraps up episode 14. Sorry this was a short one, but we didn't really have too much, sports news for this week. I went over the match, which was last Sunday, and then, of course, the new playoff rules, for the NHL, if they do decide to implement them. For my next episode, I'm gonna see if I can try to do another interview type thing. I gotta, reach out to either, friends or family members to see what times they are available so I can set that up. But yeah, I'll look forward to that. Be sure to look out for that next episode. As always, be sure to follow my Instagram and DM me for follow me on Instagram for questions, anything you want to see me talk about on the podcast maybe. And you can follow me at ColtE23, that's ColtE23. This has been episode number 14. If you have made it this far, I thank you, and look out for episode number 15. Thank you.